Hey, this is Minta, and you're listening to Mint, the podcast dedicated to making spiritual things practical. What I like to tell people is that we meet at the intersection of real life and faith. For over a year, we have been diving deep and talking practically about how to apply the Bible to real life situations, and we have seen amazing life change. But here at the Mint Podcast, we are listener supported, which means we need your help to continue. If you would so prayerfully consider, and if you have benefited from listening to the Mint Podcast, would you head over to www.amintageisler.com/recklessabandonministries and make a donation? We would so appreciate it if you would partner with us to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community and help people take one practical step forward in faith at a time. Well, here on the Mint Podcast, we are in the middle of a series called Warrior, and I am so pumped to dive into week three and to continue talking about what it means to have the heart of a warrior. More and more, culture is at odds with the truth of the Word of God, and I believe that we need to be training now, getting ready now for the battle that is coming when we are going to need to stand strong and defend our faith. So, in this Warrior series based out of Psalm 90, we are intending to give the listener four different mindsets, four different lenses through which they can ready themselves and train to be warriors. So let's get strong together, friends, because this is a battle worth fighting. In the first week, we examine the mindset of urgency and how understanding the brevity of life narrows our focus. The second week, we talked about the mindset of reverence towards God and how when we are in awe of Him and fear Him, it helps us to obey and do His work. So today we're going to turn to the third mindset. Let's go. I am so excited. And I will say this, if you haven't had a chance to listen to those first two sessions, let me encourage you to push pause and just jump back real quick and listen and catch up and then come back and join us for the third mindset. They do build on each other. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we love you and we are so thankful, God, for who you are and how you love your people. God, will you open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to love you? Will you help us to become courageous warriors from the faith? In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so episode three is all about being satisfied in God. Minta, what does that mean exactly? And how does that help me become a warrior? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Let's jump to Psalm 90 and get context from the text. So I'm going to read Psalm 90, the portions of it that we're using for this series, verses 10 through verses 17. Here we go. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life, that we may grow in wisdom. O Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good, and let us, your servants, see you work again. Let our children see your glory. May the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Now, the verses that really stand out to me for session three, all about satisfaction, are verses 14 and 15. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love, with that we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery and replace the evil years with good. This psalmist knew a secret, that being satisfied with God leads to a life of joy. It blesses us. It brings us gladness. It sets us up to walk out his mission. Being fully satisfied in God keeps us in a secret place with him. It keeps us in his presence where there's fullness of life and joy, and we can walk out his will. So here's how I want to define being satisfied in God for the sake of the rest of this episode. It's this. To be satisfied in God means he's our greatest priority. He is our greatest pursuit. God is what we seek with our time, our talent, and our treasures. We actually desire to be in His presence, and we want to live in step with His Spirit. We drink deeply of His Word on a regular basis. We seek His will for our lives. We pray for His kingdom to come. In other words, we desire God more than we desire the things of this world. That's what it means to be satisfied with God. It means that you find your ultimate satisfaction in Him more than you find it in your money, more than you find it in gaining fame or recognition, more than you find it in your beauty or your looks, more than you find it in being skinny, more than you find it in material possessions, or in work success, or in raising your kids, or taking the ultimate vacation, or building your investment portfolio, more than your home. When we find satisfaction in God, it means that we spend time with Him because we crave it. It means we'll rearrange our schedules to make sure we make time for Him. It means He's our rock. He's what keeps us steady, and it keeps our hearts so fiercely loyal to Him. So here's my question. Have you ever really thought about that before? Have you thought about what brings you satisfaction? Is being fully satisfied with God your goal? I mean, are you finding satisfaction in your relationship with God now? Where is your greatest energy and effort and desire going? That's a great first question to start with, because it's like, if you're spending more time on earning money and more desire and more research and more of your energy goes to earning money, that's where you're finding your satisfaction. Or if you're spending all of your free time right now coming up with the perfect diet plan and working out so you can look good in those summer shorts, that's where you're finding your satisfaction. So it's really good for us to pause and ask ourselves this question. Have I even thought about that? Where am I putting my time and energy? Where am I finding my satisfaction? Is it in God or is it in something else? And that's a tough question to ask. And I do not ask it lightly, because I myself struggle with this so often. Man, it is so easy for me to be consumed with finding satisfaction in other stuff. For instance, I get rolling in my ministry and I want to write and I want to speak and produce content. And then I kind of lose sight of why I'm doing it, or even just my personal time with God, or my kids. How easy is it to get wrapped up in your kids' lives? Taking them to sports, helping them with homework, worrying about them when they're out with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, or driving around with their friends, and to let that take up all my energy. Or let their success define how I feel success, you know? Or for me, it can be the house remodel. You guys, nothing gets me more excited than renovating our fixer-upper that we live in. I love a good before and after pic, like nobody's business. I dream about how I can update my house. I Pinterest it. I hunt for bargains. I put in sweat equity. And then when it's done, I like to stand in the doorway and admire my efforts. It is so satisfying. Man, I love it too much sometimes. Because there are days when that is all that I think about. Or there's some days I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror as I'm heading out the door and I'm like, whoa, I have gotten older and I have a lot of gray hair all of a sudden and I've gained the COVID-15 and oh my word. And then all of a sudden that consumes me and I work on looking better and I become satisfied in that. It consumes me. It is so easy to get distracted. So there is no judgment from me on this issue. Man, I'm guilty of it all the time. This is a judgment-free zone. Listen, I'm not saying we can't put effort into those things. I'm not saying you can't desire to be a good parent or work on a house or try to earn money or put together a portfolio. I'm not saying that at all. Don't misunderstand me. We can, we should steward what we have been given. It's just that when those things become more important to us than our relationship with God, that's when it's out of whack. That's when we're not being satisfied in Him. And I know because I've done that. You know, let's be honest. Right now, we are recording this episode and it is spring. And I think everyone in my whole town is posting pics of their awesome vacations that they took and their lovely tan lines. And I can get so distracted thinking about the sun on my face and the salt water and, you know, the sand in between my toes and thinking that a vacation will satisfy me. You know what I mean? You get the picture. I start to desire vacation and think it's going to help me more than I desire my alone time with God in the morning. It happens just like that, more quickly than I can even snap. Let's take it a step further. Sometimes I even realize that in my walk with God, I desire his miracles more than just his presence. Instead of being with him, I want him to bless me and to give me good gifts. And this situation happened all over the New Testament. When Jesus walked the earth, man, the crowds followed him for his miracles, not really because they just wanted to live the servant lifestyle of a leader who was going to sacrifice and die for them. They didn't really desire Jesus. They wanted their lives to get better because of his miracles. And in the process, they missed out on who he really was. Man, it's so easy to do that, to miss the whole point of being satisfied just in God because of who he is instead of what he could do for us. So I'll ask you again, is God your main course or is he just a side dish? Is he even on your menu? Where do you get the most satisfaction? There's a story in the book of Matthew that really illustrates the importance of being satisfied in the right thing. And it's the parable of the rich young man found in Matthew 19. So I'm just going to read that a little bit. It starts here in verse 16. Here we go. Someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." "Well, I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" And Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and then give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now I'm just going to pause right here. See, the rich young man was given a choice. Jesus called him out about where his ultimate satisfaction came, because when he approached Jesus, he said, "How do I have eternal life? It's what I want." And Jesus said, "Well, follow the commands." And he said, "I do." And he said, "Okay, well then give up all your money and all your stuff and follow me." And he couldn't. He walked away from Jesus instead of walking away from his stuff, because ultimately his satisfaction was in his material possessions. That's what made it so dangerous. That's what made it so that he walked away from the Lord. You see, the Bible says we have to choose, and we have to choose every day. We have to choose to seek and to search and be satisfied in God. And then when we do that, the Bible says we no longer have the same need for earthly pleasure, because God fills us up. And as Psalm 90 says, he will replace our evil years and our miserable years and fill us up with joy instead. But that's when we seek to be satisfied in him. That's when he comes and he fills us up with his love and his presence and his glory, and then we are satisfied. Like Paul, for instance, he said in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." See, Paul could make this crazy claim because Christ was his satisfaction. It was his goal. So that meant that even though he was getting beaten, he was being put in prison, he was still satisfied because he was accomplishing his goal to spread the gospel. And the Lord met him and filled him up and carried him through it. Paul was okay because his satisfaction came from God. You know, I'm going to read another little part in Matthew, and it's Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. And it talks about this very thing. "No one can serve two masters, For you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. That's why I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or clothes. Life's more than food, your body more than clothing. Look at all the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable than they are? Can all these worrying add a single moment to your life? And then I'm going to skip down. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. When we put him first, when we seek him first, he satisfies us. Then we have all we need. Not when we seek earthly treasures, not when we seek the things of this world. That's the code right there. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Make him your goal. Make God your pursuit. Make him your satisfaction, and he supplies everything else. I remember when I first discovered that in order to walk into the fullness of my inheritance as a Christ follower, I had to be satisfied in God. And for whatever reason, it clicked while I was reading Psalm 63. I know we are doing a lot of scripture today, and I love it because nothing changes hearts and minds and lives like the Word of God does. But this was my favorite chapter in the Bible for the longest time because it was the first time I fully understood how my heart should feel about God. I'm going to read it. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary, gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Isn't that beautiful? To me, that just captures how our hearts should feel about God. We search for him. We thirst for him. We long for him. We yearn for him. We desire his company and his presence. I love this. It's a daily choice to wake up each morning and decide we are going to seek to be satisfied in the Lord. And it's so countercultural, it's almost crazy. The world spends so much time and effort trying to convince you that you should find satisfaction in yourself, in your pursuits, in your adventures, your fortune, you. But that just leads us to be self-centered, not kingdom-minded. Just makes us selfish, and it prevents us from thinking about how we can love God and love others. It cripples us from walking out our faith. Remaining fully satisfied with God keeps us in his presence, where we are protected, where we are made strong, where we can become warriors. And that's why being satisfied with God is the third part of this series, because when we are satisfied in him, it's like we are so connected to his presence. We are so in search of his will that it protects us from the attacks of the enemy around us, and it keeps our hearts open to doing his work. So let's get practical a little bit. How can we seek to be satisfied in God? What does that look like on a daily basis? If you're saying, okay, I get this. I've been seeking the wrong things. I've been satisfied in my job, or I've been satisfied with shopping, or I've been satisfied in my house or my vacations. What can I do, Minta? Here's the first one, so simple, but just pray and ask. Just ask the Lord, help me know what it is to be satisfied with you. And he's going to meet you in that place, and he's going to show you, because he's going to bring his fullness into your life. The second thing is commit to spending time with him. For me, and you might think this sounds crazy, but that's okay. I'm the crazy Jesus lady. No big deal. I decided that I never wanted to spend more time getting ready on my outside appearance than I did on the inside. So I will not spend more time showering and doing my hair and putting on makeup than I spend in the Word that day. Now, this led to some really weird changes in my get ready routines. And I don't always look very put together. Hardly ever, in fact, do I look put together. But I have decided to make spending time with God more satisfying to me than getting ready for the day. Now, I know that sounds weird, but it is a little tangible thing that I could do. So what is it in your life that you could do? Maybe what could you sacrifice? I know everybody's got a full schedule, but maybe you could take every other day shower instead of once a day shower. Or maybe when you're on a walk, you could use it to spend time in God's word or praying with him. And so just commit to putting more time in your schedule to spend it with God. It's actually going to increase the desire that you have to spend it with him. And I know that there's something in your life that you can do a little less of in order to make time for this. I know it. The third thing is this: pray often. Pray so much you feel silly. Just spend time talking to God. Talk to him about everything. And if you run out of stuff to talk about with him, just praise him and thank him for who he is. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And when you praise and thank, you enter his gates and his courts. So praise and thank. And the fourth thing is to give. Increase your investment to church or to missionaries or ministry, like Mint Podcast or whatever you feel called to do. But Matthew 6 tells us, man, where your treasure is, there your heart is. So it doesn't have to be gigantic or anything, but just practice giving more. Practice being satisfied in kingdom things more than you are in the things of this world. And that can start with giving. And then finally, share your faith. You know, I get convicted about this sometimes because, like, I will find a good deal at Target or at Home Goods and I can't stop talking about it. But man, what much more treasure is found in my faith that I should talk about it so much and give away the satisfaction that I've been given. And talking about it and sharing it is actually going to increase your satisfaction too. So those are just simple things that we can do. And here's my challenge for the week. Psalm 63 that I read to you. Read that each morning. Make that the desire of your heart. Read it out loud to God as your prayer and then ask him to teach you how to be satisfied with him. And my dear warrior friends, I know he will do this because he who calls you is faithful. And I know that this is going to strengthen you. And you know, I've had an interesting week as I close here, and that there's things going on in culture that seem so crazy to me and that are so out of line with the word of God that I was just reminded this week how important it is that we have the heart of a warrior. Because increasingly, the word of God and the truth that it holds is going to be in opposition to what culture is telling us is okay. And if we are going to stand strong, stand firm, pass on our faith to the next generation, we have to get ready. It's not going to happen by accident. We have the honor and the privilege of getting in the word, talking to God, and putting on the armor so that we can fight for truth, and we can fight for his love and bring it to those who haven't heard it. You know, and just to give you a couple of examples this week, I know I've told you it's spring and you might not be listening to this podcast when it's spring, and that's okay. But right now it's spring, and one of the things that happens is the NCAA basketball tournament. And this year, the Cinderella story is Oral Roberts University, and they're a small Christian private college, and they have come under fire. In fact, there was an article in USA Today urging people not to cheer for them because of the views that they hold as a university in their lifestyle statement. And Christians were called morally regressive, offensive. They were called prejudiced and just slandered for holding to biblical truths. And this writer called for Oral Roberts to be taken out of the NCAA tournaments because they go against, with their lifestyle statement, which is in line with the Bible, and they should not be allowed to play in NCAA play. And man, this just shot right to my heart. You know, increasingly, I think as Christians, if we hold to our values, we're going to come under fire. And I don't know about you, but when the attacks come, I want to stand strong and I want to be ready and I want to hold forth the truth of God like a shield, but also like a sword. And I want to be able to, in love, be ready to stand up for what I believe in and to love those around me, even if they have conflicting beliefs. I want the love flowing out of me to be so strong and so beautiful and so kind, the love that I have for others, that even if they don't believe what I believe, they wouldn't be able to speak badly about me. I want that. That's how I believe we can be warriors, is that our love for others is going to just take down any of the attacks of the enemy. But in order to love others well, we've got to be rooted in God's word. We've got to be loving God well, and then he is going to equip us in return to fight these battles. So warrior friends, the battle's here, I believe. And I want us to be ready to go out into a world that needs it and love like crazy. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you alone are worthy of all of our praise and our glory and our time and our energy and our efforts, God. Help us to learn to be fully satisfied in you, that we may choose you, that we may be rooted in you, and then that love and that satisfaction that we have in you, Lord, let it manifest in our lives and let us bring it to a world that so desperately needs it. In your name we pray. Amen. You've been listening to Mint, the podcast dedicated to making spiritual things practical. If you want more information about Mint or Reckless Abandon Ministries, you can just head to our website at www.amintageisler.com for more information.